In 2018, Seattleite Chris Jekyll was reeling from a breakup. It was amicable, they just didn't work out. But still, when you're suddenly alone after many years as a couple, it can be disorienting.
You're left with a hole. And I was in that hole.
Chris decided it was the right time for a trip. It was kind of a bold idea, for reasons that'll become clear shortly. One thing he did know was where he wanted to go.
Friends had told me forever, you know, that Tokyo and Japan in general was a place that you could go and ride the trains and you could, you know, eat the food and enjoy the people. And so it just seemed like a really great place to go and just kind of shake things up.
So what makes planning a trip abroad for you different than it might be for any other schmo on the street?
So I have a visual impairment. I can't see that well. I don't see out of my right eye at all, really. And in my left eye, I have a blurry center line of vision.
So you're legally blind.
Yeah, legally blind. There's a million titles. Low vision, legally blind, visually impaired. I can't even keep track of them. I can't see, Gabe. You know, I think about, all right, is there transportation? Like, am I going to be able to get around? You know, like taxi cabs. Like, I was Googling, like, okay, like, how easy is it for me to hail a taxi in Japan? It turned out to be pretty doable. I think about trains. Like, how easy is it for me to get on the trains? And then I would say, too, like, if I go to a place, is it going to be stimulating to me? And I rely a lot on sensory experiences. So, you know, when I think about Tokyo, and Tokyo was the main draw for me in Japan, I think about art and fashion and lights. And even though I can't appreciate it in the same way that you might, because your vision is better, I can still interpret it in a way that I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after a very long day of travel to get there, and then you get yourself to bed eventually.
Yes.
What was it like to wake up in this, you know, on the other side of the world?
I just wanted to go out and do it. I wanted to go to the fish market. I wanted to go to some of the shrines, some of the big, like the presidential palace. I wanted to go to Shibuya, where they have the busiest intersection with foot traffic.
That one you see in the movies where it's like a bunch of streets coming together across and flocks?
Yeah, and what's awesome too is, so when people in Japan cross the street, there's so many people that
it's like a slime mold.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I would like fight my way into the middle of the mob, and then I would know when it was time to cross the street because we'd all walk together. And so I would just walk happily with them, and then I would turn around and walk back, because Shibuya crossing is great.
Tell me a little bit more about the sensory experience of being there. What did it smell like and sound like and things like that?
Yeah. It's a very bright city. You know, when you're walking down those main thoroughfares in the Shinjuku district, entire facades are covered with bright beaming lights. Storefronts are flashing neon. There are light fixtures near intersections that are twinkling. And I can't even really put it into words. I mean, at times it was like a dream sequence.
I mean, that must be, if your sort of field of vision is small and blurry,
yeah,
to have a completely different flavor of visual experience must be kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. I was just transfixed, man. I mean, I just remember staring at everything. And just back against the wall, and oceans of people everywhere, people on top of people, and the energy was amazing. And one day I went to the, I'm probably not pronouncing this correctly, but the Takeshita Fashion District, and then I just kept going for like an hour and a half. I turned my phone off too, I should add. I didn't want to, you know, that robot voice, I hear it all the time. So I turned that off and I just walked. And eventually I came to kind of this quieter residential area. And I got to a street and there were bicycles coming and going, and I knew because I could hear the bells. A motor would purr by, kind of a scooter motor would purr by. And, you know, it's late afternoon, so there's kids kind of goofing around, messing around on the sidewalk or the street. And people are coming home, I presume from work or whatever errands they're running, and getting bags out of cars. I know this because I can hear them grabbing stuff as they're shutting car doors. And they're walking up steps. And out of nowhere, this calming peace came over me. And I thought about it a few days later. I mean, I couldn't put words on it at the time, but a few days later I really gave it some thought, and I thought, I think stepping outside of my world, my issues, my experience, you know, living in the US, Seattle, I think being able to step outside of that and witness a slice of life completely out of my world made me feel really small in the best kind of way.
So suddenly the things that are bothering you or weighing you down don't feel so large.
No, it made me really happy to see people just living their lives on another continent with their own problems, by the way, handling their own stuff, managing their own issues, but living.
So this trip, sort of born of heartbreak and the desire to, as you said, sort of like rediscover who you are and where you end and other things begin, how did it go in those terms?
The flight back to Seattle from Tokyo is about 11, 12 hours. And so you get time to think and sort of pick things apart, connect dots. And for me, it was the joy of feeling truly electrified by something. I don't want to sound too new agey here, but I think every city has a spirit. You know, Seattle has a spirit. Chicago has a spirit. Tokyo definitely has a spirit. And to be able to really open yourself up to accept it and plug into it is really exciting. And when I got home, and I don't know if this was like at SeaTac or when I walked through my dorm, I don't remember the moment, but I do remember thinking, I'm gonna be okay.